Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the following verses. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens." This is the text. You may be seated. God's promises never fail. God never fails. Whatever he promises, he delivers. Jesus tells us that if God feeds the ravens and dresses the lilies of the field, he will feed and dress us. He asks a rhetorical question. Life is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. What he's really saying is, who gave you life? God. Who gave you your body? God. If he gave you life and the body, will he withhold the food to sustain life, or the clothing to cover the body? Rhetorical question. Of course not. He certainly will take care of our bodily needs just as he takes care of our spiritual needs. He created us. He knows what we need. And in one of the verses that we just sang, that beautiful thought, do you doubt that God knows your need before you? Before you perceive the need, before you have a problem, God knows that you will have this problem. And will he not then have already a solution planned out for you too, before you become aware of your problem? This lesson was not taught to the crowds. This was specifically to the 12 that would carry on the torch of the gospel after he ascended into heaven. So this is really tough. This is heavy stuff. This is to the disciples. That's why he said, don't worry about goods. And preachers until this day are not to worry about goods. God will always provide. Preachers don't have to say, wait a minute, are you not forgetting something about me? God always provides. He says the world, the pagans, run after such things as a salary increase and a benefit package and all of that. Preachers, don't worry about it, is what Jesus is saying. But what is good for one Christian is good for the other Christians too, is it not? Isn't it beautiful to know that God provides? You still can draw great comfort from this message addressed to the disciples. Martin Luther said that one of his favorite preachers was Reverend Robin, as I call him tongue-in-cheek. Reverend Robin was none other than the robin that hopped on the sill of the window in the back of the Black Cloister, Martin Luther's home. And he would there collect the crumbs that Mrs. Luther had put there early morning. And then he would hop over and have a drink on a little dish of water, and then fly happily around and sing and dive and look at God's creation. When the sun set, he would find a quiet little spot in a tree, tuck his head under his wing, and sleep. This is Luther saying. In the morning, he would wake up and stretch out his wings and sing a little bit, and then take a dive through the air come down to the windowsill, eat, drink, and fly away without any assurance that tomorrow you'll be provided for. That robin trusted God for his food, and he didn't die of starvation. By the way, have you ever heard of birds dying of starvation? That just does not exist, except in the cases in which we clumsy humans poison their crops or their rivers. When we interfere, when we take it away. But by nature, they just do fine. And they don't worry. Jesus is the teacher. His disciples called him rabbi more often than not. A rabbi, a teacher, teaches. And Jesus leads and commands with power his classroom. Our teachers and teachers today in the classroom use a lot the imperative tense of verbs. Write this down. Make a note, study, crack the books. Jesus is no different. He uses the imperative in this whole passage here that Luke describes. So often, he uses the imperative tense. For example, he says, do not worry. That's a command, that's an order. And if you worry, you are breaking his command. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about your body. Do not worry about what you will dress. Consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. Seek his kingdom. Do not be afraid. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves in heaven, and so on. Again, to the 12 disciples, not to the general assembly. But you see, he uses this imperative tense of the verb, which is used by drill sergeants. Drop down. Get up. March. Orders. He prepares his disciples so that they will be strong and will have the inner right stuff needed to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim love in a hostile environment, because the old evil foe would just as well make this world of ours a place of hatred. We still see plenty of explosions of hatred like we just saw in the last week in Dayton and in El Paso and in the Garlic Festival of California, Gilroy. Those things can only be curbed by our love and our prayers. Jesus wants us to stand up, make our voice heard, the voice of the gospel, the voice of love and of reason, the voice of service, the voice of selflessness. Jesus uses the imperative for a good reason: to save us, our skin, to make us tough, to make us understand that to preach the gospel is worth every bit of the effort. It's not something that you do leisurely. You apply yourself for it. You live your faith out in the world. You have to rein in your own instincts sometimes, your desires, your lust, your wishes. But God gave you the power to rein those in. Consider the ravens. When I studied this text in the original Greek, word katanoezate, I said, what is this? Kata is according to, noe is study, consider. We translate katanoezate for consider. And I said, wait a minute, there is much more to this story. So I go into the research books, and katanoezate is acquiring knowledge, profound diagnostic knowledge, through careful and exhaustive study and observation and ponderation. So when you say consider, that's quite, oh, look at the lilies or look at the ravens. That's one thing. But when I say take a raven to the laboratory, dissect it, study their whole life, that is far bigger. It's to apprehend knowledge through careful observation, intense observation. That's what katanoezate means in Greek. I think that puts a different spin on the whole picture, doesn't it? Jesus said, look at them and see. They don't plant, they don't put away in store, in barns, and yet God feeds them. And then God dresses the lilies. We have a mighty magnifying glass at our home, and we still have it, but I used it very much for our three little children when they were little. I would take a dandelion, which is possibly one of those flowers that everybody loves or hates, depending on where they are. But dandelions are truly beautiful works of art. If you take one and examine it carefully under a magnifying glass, they are marvelous. They are put together with perfection, so symmetric. They have such a beautiful, rich texture. And what do? We step on them. We kill them. We don't like them because they are not grass. Who said that we only like green? What's wrong with yellow or gold? Jesus says, this is how God dresses the lilies. Not even Solomon, the king of Israel, in all his splendor, dressed as one of these. Oh, you of little faith, he tells his disciples. So, little by little, lesson by lesson, the teacher teaches his 12 students on how to proclaim the gospel after he ascended into heaven. This preparation is a preparation to carry the torch, the light that will enlighten our world, that will dispel not only the darkness, but the works of darkness as well, that will eliminate the old evil foe. But without preachers, the gospel cannot be heard. You know the fable according to which on the day of the ascension, when Jesus arrived into heaven after he left the 11 disciples on the mount in Bethany, arrived there and everybody was celebrating and the choirs were singing and the trumpets blasting and there was a parade down Main Street. But Gabriel, the angel that had announced Jesus' birth, was standing in a corner, not engaging in the festivities. Jesus saw that and said, Gabriel, why aren't you happy? Did you see what I just did? Yeah, I know you redeemed mankind, and that's great. But how are you going to get the news out that they are saved? And Jesus never lost a beat, just looked down and said, why? The 11 there. But Gabriel still had this frown. And Jesus said, now what? And Gabriel said, what if they fail? according to the fable, now Jesus had a frown. Jesus said, then I have no plan B. It's you and me. We are the 11 of today. We must go and put in the effort that is commensurate to the preciousness of the gospel. We have it in us. It's all a question of being willing to do it. So, this is preaching 101, I suppose. The most basic of all lessons. To go and actually preach. What shall I say? Jesus said, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need at the appropriate time. He even writes the sermon for you. Get it? There is really only one thing to do. To go with joy and to let the world know about this. So today's lesson is over. Go home and do your homework now. Which is, do not worry. And let the world know about your marvelous Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.